But in the same sense, God tells us to plan like it's never going to end and live like it's going to end tomorrow. Sometimes that's a difficult balance to find, you know, but that's the balance we have to find as a Christian. As a Christian, as a church, we know where we're going. We know where we're heading. And you'll see when I show you some of the stats that God is in, he's in control of the whole thing, you know. I don't have the timing of everything. Sometimes with God, it's hard to get the timing right. But I do know the plan, okay? And it's the same plan we've had ever since we've been here, since August of 2004. Since we came in the end of August, we've had the same plan. Nothing's changed. We've not deviated away from it. You know, we've kept it pretty much steady. I thought I'd throw this in here. I know I showed you this before, but some of you are new and you've never seen this. This is the original picture of this building. That's that building back there, the original property here. It looks a little bit different. You see the railroad in the background, can't you? Let me get it there. You see the railroad back there? This out here is called Bandit's Crossing. That's what this is out here is called. And when you tell people Bandy's Crossing, they know where you're talking about. So this little church has been around here for a long time, you know. It was a prayer building. It was called a cottage prayer building is what it was originally back there. This is stats of how far we've come. Just so that you guys can see what God is doing. This church was organized in January of 2001. It had an attendance of 10 people in the organization. The finances for that year was almost $15,000 for the whole year, which is pretty good for 10 people. In 2002, we don't have attendance stats for those. The records were not that good, so we don't have attendance for those. But we do have the finances, $17,000 in 2003, $18,000, so 2004, $19,000. So as you can see, since the church's conception, it's grown. You know, there's a whole lot of churches can't say that, folks. I'm being honest. I hate to admit it, but they tell me that roughly it's between 75 and 85% of churches of God are plateaued and are not growing at all. At all. This church is a little bit different. In the end of August, Susie and I came here to be your pastor, and we began casting the vision that I'm talking about today. And in 2005, we more than doubled finances. We went to $43,000. In 2006, we went to $55,000. That's a $12,000 increase in 1 year. In 2007, we took a little backslide. In 2008, we took a little backslide. There is a personal reason why that happened in this church, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. Then in 2009, we took a jump to $61,000. And then the last 6 years, 2010, we jumped. We recorded our attendance at 56. And almost $70,000 in income. In 2011, our attendance went to 58, and $83,000 worth of income. In 2012, 68. Every year, a jump of about 10. $92,000. 2013, we went to 75. $85,000. We took a little bit of hit back. In January last year, the year before last, 2014, we took a little hit in the attendance, but we growed in the finances to $98,000, almost $99,000. We almost hit $100,000 last year. I went, oh, come on, Lord. And then in this year, past year, our attendance was at $79,000. You can see there is a steady growth padding, and we finally passed the $100,000 mark at $108,000. Give the Lord a hand, would you? Oh, hallelujah. What does all this mean? It means the church is growing. It means People are getting saved. It means we have more money to do things with, more money to grow with. Like you will have a, how many of you got a calendar today? You know? And in that calendar, it had a little sweet treat. You know? There's a pie certificate in it. Whatever you do, look at your calendar. There's a pie certificate in it for Perkins, okay? Where you can get a free pie at Perkins. Now, you got to call them and let them know you're coming. So, or you're going to go there and there ain't going to be no pies. So they ask for you to call them and let them know you're coming before you come. If you want a fruit pie, it's free. You know, if you want a fruit pie. If you want one of their specialty pies, I think they're, I forget what it says, $2 or $3. You can add to it and get one of their specialty pies. But it's just one of our ways of saying, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? You know? And, you know, God is doing something. He's doing something here. He's doing something. We'll look at the calendar in just a minute, but I just want to show you how far we've come and how far we're heading. And folks, we're at the level right now to break through, to really have a breakthrough as a church. I'm being honest with you, to really have a breakthrough. As a church, we have seen hundreds of percent of growth each year. I mean, which people don't see that in churches. God is busy doing something here. He's doing something in this community uniquely with this church. I'm being honest. You know, we're definitely not the biggest, but as a pastor, I feel like we're the best. I feel that way about our church. I really do. I feel like that, you know, there are people here that genuinely care about you. You know, and most people, they sit in pews and don't even know the people they sit beside. You know, how many of you have ever sat in a church for a while and don't even know the person you sit beside? Never even got to know them, you know? I mean, come on, folks. That's not what church is about. Church is about being a family, you know, being concerned. Since 2005, thousands of people have got needed groceries from this church. It to me, it's almost mind-boggling that we've been doing that long, you know? Thousands of kids have received. Let me ask Carol, what were the stats? Do you off the top of your head, do you remember how many pounds? Don't remember? In the last 2 months, 11,000 pounds of food we've given away here, you know? Look around here, folks. This is not a big church, you know? If we would fill it up to over capacity, we still wouldn't be a big church, you know? But we're a church that has a vision and a church that cares. And those people, you know, that got, they don't come here. Those people aren't in this church. We have people come and help with the food giveaway. They don't even come to the church. But they want to be a part of it, you know, be a part of the vision. Thousands of kids have received school supplies since we've been here, you know. I remember when there were none. There were no back-to-school bashes. Now there are several, which to me is awesome because I don't care. I mean, it ain't like it's my original idea. You know, I don't care if every church in the community does a back-to-school bash. I wish they wouldn't do it the same Sunday as us or Saturday as us, but I don't really care, you know. Hallelujah. As long as the kids get served, that's all I care about. Thousands of people have been touched by our outreach programs. We have huge Bible schools for the size of this church. You know, I went to a church. I went and did a Bible school this past summer. The church is 300 on Sunday. Anthony went with me. They have 300 people there on Sunday. We had more kids in our Bible school than they did, didn't they, Anthony? More children were in our Bible school here than this church that's about 300 people. You know? We do stuff that's unique. You know, I have a lot of people ask me about the Heaven thing, Heaven Train thing. Folks, Heaven Train has not seen its potential yet. You know, when you start something, it takes years for it to actually see its potential. It's not seen its potential yet. There is going to come a day when we have like four services and all four of them are to capacity on the bus. I mean, that's coming. 100s of people have been baptized and added to the kingdom. Baptism to me is special. You know, some of those people aren't even alive today. You know, I looked at a picture from years and years ago of a dinner in the back that we were having. It was a senior dinner. And about 2/3 of those seniors aren't even alive today. And Susie and I got to serve them. We have a motto around here. It's called life. Shining the life of Jesus is our motto. Shining the life of Jesus. Not shining the love. Not shining the hope. Shining the life. Because Jesus called us to be His life. To be the very lifeblood. To be the body that expels the life of God into the community. To be His hands, His arms. We're not to be the head, but we are to be the extension of His life. Committing, connecting, equipping, and encouraging. Our mission is very simple. You can say it so simple, it's almost pathetic, it's so simple. It's to love God and to love others and to serve God and to serve others. That's what we do. We love God, number one. We love others. We serve God. We just don't say, "I love you, Lord," and don't serve Him. See, there's a whole lot of people that love Him and they're sitting at home on Sunday laying in bed. "I love you, Lord." And boy, as soon as they get out of bed, they'll tell Him how much they love Him, you know? Right before they turn the football game on. But we serve Him. And I think it's totally impossible to really serve other people without being part of a body. Not just serving God, but He's called us to be servants of others. Oh, hallelujah. That's the simple simplicity of this mission. And that's why you're able to grab a hold of it, because it's so simple. Some people try to make it so complicated. You know? Shoot, where did I get that at? I got it out of the Bible. I mean, it's a simple book. Called to be a life Christian. What's a life Christian? What is a life Christian? It's a Christian, a believer, who has pursued to discover the destiny that God has for them and discovered that they have been uniquely shaped by God to help fulfill the mission and vision of the church that they're a part of. We have been uniquely created by God. Look what Job says. Look what he says, "Your hands shaped me and made me." In Psalms 139, it says, "Oh yes, you shaped me first inside," that being in the womb. "Then outside you framed me in my mother's womb." And thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. "Body and soul, I am marvelously made." Ephesians chapter 2, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things He planned for us long ago." We're His masterpiece, created to do things for God that He planned for us to do. He wrote those things down and He planned them for us uniquely. And our job is to discover those things. It is nobody's job to discover them for you. You cannot go up to somebody and say, "What am I supposed to do for God?" Because they can look at you and give you an answer, but I'm telling you, it ain't going to be the right answer. Because only you can discover what God has called you to do. Oh, hallelujah. And, you know, some people, they discover it and they think, "Well, this is for life." It's not. God changes. That's why you have to stay in connection with Him. Because when you're in connection with Him, when He's changing His mind about what He wants you to do, you change with Him. That's the problem with the church world. God has moved on and they're still back in the 50s. That's the problem with it. People have back problems today. Pews kill your back. And they still got them. What's our vision? The vision is for you to be whole. Not for you to be sickly. And you got a first name, you got your doctor on speed dial. That's not the vision God has for you. I'm not saying you never get sick, okay? I'm just saying it should not become a chronic part of your life. Because He wants you to be whole. Oh, hallelujah. You go through the attack, come out the other side, and testify about the power of God. In a sentence, we're to shine the life of Jesus. That's what we put on the website. To shine the life of Jesus. That's why we have a lighthouse. To shine the life of Jesus. In detail. Okay, let me give you some detail. Our vision is to live the life of Christ in a community of believers that love, accept, and forgive each other of their shortcomings. We endeavor to shine the life of Jesus by loving God, loving others, serving God, serving others. We also seek to teach others how to become fully devoted followers of Christ. All right, you wanted something complicated, so I gave you something. I simple it down to four little phrases, but give you the complication of what our vision is, the specifics of it, you know? LAF, you got to laugh. You got to laugh. I wasn't that good in spelling. L-A-F. Works good with acoustics, though. How do you say L-A-F? How do you say it? Yeah, makes it simple, right? L-A-F. You have to love, you have to accept, and you have to forgive. All three of those things God told us to do. Those are His commands. So I make it, you got to laugh. You got to laugh. You got to laugh all the time. There are some of you in here, you make me laugh all the time. Every time Mike walks in the room, I start laughing half the time. How many of you would say that about Mike? Every time Mike walks in the room, you about laugh, you know? Yeah, she lives with him. You know, isn't that better than being a prune? You know, I've had people walk in the room, I wish they wouldn't have come in the room. The whole room got dark when they walked in. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know people like that. You have to decide what kind of person you're going to be. Are you going to be the kind of person that elevates the atmosphere when you walk in and people start laughing, you know, and they know something funny's coming? You know, not something accusing or railing or something like that that hurts people, but things that are just funny. I don't know. I think everybody in this room needs to laugh a little more. Oh, hallelujah. Our vision of wholeness is explained best by the five, or should be six, components that represents each part of the vision. The word shines. Servant-led soul winning. I have done every kind of soul winning there is. I have banged on doors. I have passed out things, cookies. I have done every kind of soul winning you could possibly imagine. Most to fruitless adventure. First thing I found out when I knocked on doors was that everybody was already saved. They didn't need to go to church because they were already saved, you know. So I knew that was fruitless. I have to completely convince them that they're not saved so I can get them to go to church, you know. That ain't going to work. I ain't got that much time. So the thought come to me, and the Bible says that The kindness of God, the goodness of God is what leads people to repentance. And so if we just show people how good God is, see, that's what worked on me. A man showed me how good he was through him. I saw God in this guy. And I said, if God is that good, then I probably need some of him. You know, and so we do all kinds of things to show the goodness of God, you know, and soul winning. There's more to do. This is an element of the vision that we've not connected yet. You know, the Bible says a vision is for an appointed time. That's why you have to write it down so you don't forget it. Because each of the elements of vision are for appointed time. There is an appointed time when life groups will take off in this church. And this church will become a church with house-to-house fellowship. When that happens, the church will grow by leaps and bounds. Because it's so much easier to invite a friend over to your house than it is to invite him to church. I'm a proprietor of what's called free market groups, which means sometimes we have enough Bible studies. And free market groups are people that take their passion, and you take that passion and you go help somebody with it. And it's almost strictly evangelistic without the people knowing they're being evangelized. Like one of the things, for instance, me, where I am going to, I am going to start an author group. An inspiring author group. And people that want to publish books or want to become an author can become a part of my group. And every other week we'll meet and talk about all the different ways there is of writing and marketing and all this kind of good stuff. And you say, Pastor, what in the world does that have to do with God? Probably not very much. Although my books are all about Him. But I'm trying to build relationships. Not trying to preach. I get enough of that. I'm trying to build relationships. And there are a lot of people. I remember when I went around to a few book signings, there's a lot of people that said, how do you publish a book? How do you do this? How do you do that? And so I'll just run an ad in the paper that there's going to be an author group meets here. And come if you want to meet. You know, I mean, that's whatever, something like that. I don't know how exactly I'm going to do it, but that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be what my group is. You know? Because why? It's my passion. It's one of my passions. You know, I used to be passionate about hunting. I'm not anymore. You know, my passions have changed. I used to be passionate about trapping. I'm not passionate about it anymore. Still know how to do it all. I'm just not passionate about it. It's not my passion. My passion right now is putting words in print for people to read. And that's what it is. You might like to have a hunting thing, or a fishing thing, or a sewing thing, or a Bible study. Maybe you just want to teach the Bible. Maybe you want to show somebody how to play an instrument. Maybe you want to have prayer. Your thing is just meeting and praying. Hallelujah. I'm not discouraging all that. I'm just saying do what you want to do. The reason why this has not taken off yet is because I don't have the person to lead it yet. And we have to have a person to lead this. Because I can't lead everything. Not effectively. And when we get the person to lead this, then this will take off. Hallelujah. Impacting worship. Some believers, the worship service are the only real contact with the Creator all week. So with that in mind, we carefully plan the operation of each service. Each service should be filled with love, acceptance, and forgiveness by allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to operate freely as He chooses. Each service is planned as an ongoing celebration of freedom we have with God every day. We are free. You are free to worship in this church. You can worship God however you want to. You can dance, you can shout, you can run, you can roll. You can do whatever, and nobody's going to judge you. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Sometimes I wish we had a little more life. Get rid of some of the Baptist attitude we got. Not picking on Baptists. But by God, I went to a Baptist church one day, and they, as a visitor one time, and they out-worshipped us. I said, I'm going to have to quit picking on them. Who can I pick on next? Presbyterians? Are they lively worship? Never sat in one, are they? Okay, I'll pick on them then. You guys don't get offended. You can't get offended. You're Pentecostals now. Hey, you can't go back to the smoke when you've been in the fire. You know what I'm saying? That's all there is to it. I think a worship service should be impacting. People should get healed. And I'm not just talking about singing. I'm talking about the whole capacity. The whole capacity is the worship service, not just singing. That's just a part of it. That's the inventory part of it. Whew. I think you should put an offering in the plate, and as you're putting it in, God is sending some angel to bring a reward because of the attitude of your heart. You think, oh, come on, Pastor. Come on. Let me give you two quick things. When Susie and I started out, we didn't have nothing. I mean nothing. I didn't even have a job when we got married. I had a business and didn't know what to do with it. I know. She's a woman of strong faith. I mean, I had a business, but we got married in the spring, and my business doesn't really take off till later on in the year. And so, I don't even know what I'm doing. Man, I sold a boat to be able to get my tux for the marriage. You know, and we got married. Now I'm trying to figure out, what the heck am I going to do? Well, this woman probably ain't going to go for this trapping business. She didn't like the smell. I still had that in mind that I was going to do that, but she didn't like the smell. And I think, oh my God. I tried to sneak a bottle of skunk essence in. I wrapped that sucker with electrical tape and did everything I could and tried to sneak that thing in the house, and that woman sniffed it out. Well, how in the world can you smell that? I'm going, I can't smell it. She sniffed that thing out, man. I didn't know what we were going to do. I mean, honestly, I didn't. I didn't know what we were going to do. I was dumb and young and made dumb decisions. And I got a job, but gas money was really hard to come by. I had to drive about a half hour to work, so, you know, it took money to get there. Thank God it was only $1 a gallon. But it took money to get there. And I remember one time I had to go to church on Sunday morning, and I said, Lord, I said, you know, if I go to church on Sunday, I'm not going to be able to go to work tonight, because I had enough gas to get to church and get home. And I thought, Lord, I'm just putting you first. And so I went to church. I couldn't get anything out of that service because all I was thinking about was losing my job because I can't go to work. When the pastor finally did shut up, I ran to the altar and I got down on my knees. And I said, God, I put you first today. And I need help. I said, I want to lose my job. You know, I mean, it wasn't a good job, but it was a job. I said, I need help. And the Lord spoke to me just right then. He just spoke and said, I've taken care of it. And I go, oh, okay. So I jumped up from the altar and I'm just smiling. You know, this is the end. These people are gone, man. It's just a handful of people there at the altar. The rest of the people, that church at 12 o'clock, they got up and left, whether you were done or not. They wanted to beat the Baptists to the restaurant. So that place at noon, half of them would leave, literally, while the pastor was preaching. It was the rudest bunch of people I ever met. Just frustrated me to no end. I got up. I started walking back, and there's my little new wife standing back in the back. And she's talking to a senior lady. I don't know if you remember this or not, do you? Yeah, you remember. And I walked up to her, and she was the sweetest woman. I said, "How you doing?" And I give her, you know, a big handshake, and she grabs hold of me, gives me a big hug, and Susie looks at me and says, "Look what card she just gave us for our wedding. She didn't get to come, so she gave us a card for our wedding." You know, it was a few weeks later. And I opened the card up, and I think there was a $20 bill in it. There was a $20 bill in it. And I went, wow. See, God spoke to an old senior lady while I was sitting at home wondering how I was going to get to work. He had already worked this thing out. All I had to do was take a step of faith. Now, here's the thing, guys. What if I'd have stayed home and not went? Then I had one day's worth of gas to go to work instead of a week's, you know? Sometimes God puts a demand. Now, you're thinking, $20? Come on, Pastor, that's like crazy, you know? Hey, I remember when $20 was a lot of money. I've had that two or three times. I was the head of the hallelujah party. Our hallelujah parties had 150 people at them. Church only run about 50 people on Sunday morning. We had 150 people show up for the hallelujah party. Man, they crawled out of the woodwork for that thing. I was the head of that thing. I was the one that organized the games. I organized all the stuff. I was in charge of it, you know. And I'm sitting at home with no money to get to the thing. No gas money to get to the hallelujah party. And I'm thinking, another one of those incidences where I don't have enough gas to get to work and to go to the hallelujah party, you know. So what am I going to do? I decide to go to the hallelujah party. And while I'm standing there at the hallelujah party, guess what? Up walks a Christmas tree. It was a costume party. A Christmas tree walked up to me and said, "Brother Don." I said, "Yes, Dorothy." It was Francis's mom, which didn't like me. And she didn't like me after she said, "The Lord told me to give this to you, and I come here tonight only for one reason, to give you this money." And she reached out and put a $50 bill in my hand. And I looked at it and I went, "Well, hallelujah, thank you, Dorothy." She said, "Yeah, he told me to give 100, but Francis needed a battery." Bless her heart. 50 was almost like a paycheck to me. So, you know. God has always come through when I put him first without fear. I could go on. I'm not going to go on. Needs of others are met. We're in an ongoing ways to search, to meet the needs of guests and friends and members. We have a food distribution that's totally free. We have several giveaways throughout the year. One thing I might add right now, for you guys to pray for Shirley. She's in a desperate situation. They need to rent a place, and no one will rent a place to her. So you pray that she gets favor with somebody so she can get a place, or else she's got to go to a homeless shelter. And it's because she's being kicked out because of having all of her family living with her. So she called me and asked if we would pray for her. So I'm telling you, to help pray for her, you know, in this situation, that God works it out somehow. I don't know how, but pray that He'll work it out for her. We're always asking for God to raise up things. You know, raise up ministries in this body that can do things. Equipping for service. We feel it's the responsibility of the church to equip people for the work of the ministry. And there's several ministries. We have luncheons. We have people that greet people at the door. We have people that follow up. We have media, children's ministry, youth ministry, women's, different functions, groundskeeping, benevolence. We have different ways of trying to equip people. Everything people do is not about teaching and preaching and singing and all that sort of thing. Those are some of the things that God uses, but that's not all the ways that God uses. Connections is our biggest equipping tool, getting you to participate in connections and letting God show you what He wants you to do through that. And finally, the last part is something that we have just added to the vision. After 10 years, we have added the idea of planting satellite churches. In the next 9 years, I would love to plant two new hopes somewhere. It'll give us three locations to produce around 100 people each and around 300 people. And staff pastors and all that sort of thing will head up the different churches. And that's what we need to do. We need to take what we have and duplicate it somewhere else. Amen? And so that's the goal. That's the goal, is to plant satellites of what we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now turn to your calendars. I have a couple of things I want you to mark on your calendar, if you would. I want you to get it. I actually made a mistake on it. I know you think that's hard to do. But how many of you have ever made a type mistake? Of course, I made it on an important one. In August of your calendar or your paper, whatever it's called, what did I call that thing? Important dates to remember. On August, the back to school bash is actually the 6th. 5th? Are you sure? Don't throw a curveball at me now. What's the Saturday before? 6th, okay. I'll make two typo errors. It's actually the 6th. The 6th of August, which is the first Saturday of August, is what it is. I know, ain't that a shame? you ought to see mine. You want to see chicken scratch. It's the week before Bible school. We advertise Bible school at the bash, you know, and let all the kids see all the wonderful prizes that we're going to be giving away. You say, Pastor, you bribe them? Heck yeah. I'll do whatever I have to. Don't criticize me. The Bible says bribery works. Go look at it. They come here expecting to get a prize, and they get Jesus. Then we give them a prize too, but they're going to get Jesus. We're also, this year is also, the theme is going to be the superhero theme. They're coming back. The Avenger League is coming back. We're actually going to have a couple extra characters in it this year, plus what we already had. So it'll be unique. It'll be unique. Praise the Lord. Anybody have any questions? Let me give you